that, Pastor Dan. I preach the Word, so whatever the Word says, that's what I bring to both moms and dads. So to that end, take your Bibles, please, and open with me to John 8. We're going to start where we left off last time at John chapter 8, verse 12. Along with the others who have been at the pulpit this morning, I want to wish you all a happy Father's Day, all of you. And I want to encourage you who are fathers still raising your kids at home, or you whose kids are close by and you're still able to have a lot of close week-to-week, day-to-day contact with them. Of course, overall, bottom line up front, I want to encourage you to follow Christ. But what would that look like? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. As you recall, in John 8, we've been working through this great gospel verse by verse, and last time we ended at John 8, 12, our memory verse for the month. Take a look. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. As you recall, we looked last time at all the darkness in this context. There was the darkness of immorality, and we live in a world that's filled with that. There was the darkness here of hypocrisy and insincerity and injustice, and our world is filled with that. And even homes where fathers and mothers are raising their children, there are homes in which there is immorality, injustice, hypocrisy, ungodliness. I want you to imagine, and hopefully it's not just imagining for most of you, I want you to imagine that you're a father, that you believe in Jesus Christ, and that it is your desire to follow Christ, just as Jesus says here. Jesus says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I want you to imagine that that's you. Now, of course, to follow Jesus Christ means to listen to what Christ says and follow that instead of following the world. I like the emphasis, Brother Nate. You know, I am the light of the world, not any other guru out there. Jesus Christ is the source of light, that is the source of truth and wisdom and righteousness and discernment for this world. So imagine you're a father, you believe in Jesus, and as a father, you want to follow him. What would that look like? Well, we're going to look at four texts of the New Testament that speak directly, well, two speak very directly, and two speak somewhat indirectly to that end. If you did a study in the New Testament of the word Father, you would find a lot of verses that speak about God, our Heavenly Father. But you would just find four verses that are directly addressing what it means to be a father who follows Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at those. And the title this morning is simply A Father Who Follows Christ. And we're going to answer, what would that father be doing or not doing as a good Christian father, as one who follows Christ? So the hope here, of course, is that if you are a father still raising your children at home, that you will follow Christ in the way that these verses speak. That if your job of fathering in the home is past, and a lot of us are in that boat, right? We're empty nesters, the kids have moved out, that we would still think about how to apply these verses as adult fathers. And that if maybe you haven't fathered in this way, maybe you would ask your kids to forgive you, and it's never too late to start. So let's look at four New Testament texts that speak of what a father looks like who follows Jesus Christ. The first is Ephesians 6, 4. So turn there if you would please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Really, if we rightly understand this one, you'll find it covers the other three. It really would be sufficient in and of itself. So we're going to spend the most time here, and then we will briefly look at the other three that are in your bulletin. So Ephesians 6, 4, the book of Ephesians, if you didn't know, was written to the church at Ephesus. People who lived in that city were called Ephesians, just like we're called Coloradans. So it's a letter to the people in Ephesus who had heard the gospel and believed in Jesus. Chapters 1 through 3 are basic, fundamental Christian doctrine. I am one who believes strongly in the fundamentals. So what you're going to hear this morning is very much the fundamentals for fathers. Ephesians 1 to 3 is kind of the fundamentals of Christian doctrine. Chapters 4 through 6 are fundamental Christian duties. What should we do if we are believers in Jesus Christ? And when we come to 6:4, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, hope you're following along. This is the foundational verse in the New Testament for what a father does if he's going to follow Jesus Christ. Take a look, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction, or your Bible might say in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, there's a key word here that often gets overlooked. It is the word in. Do you see the word in there? That's in all good translations. Some have the word with. The word is really in. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That word refers to environment. The environment within which, the atmosphere, the home environment within which a Christian father raises his children. What kind of an environment, what kind of an atmosphere does a Christian father raise his children in? Well, it's a good one because it's of the Lord. He raises, he nourishes, he feeds his children in the, and we'll talk about these words, in the training and admonition that is of the world, of the Lord, not of the world. Okay, there's a contrast here. Earlier in chapter 4, Paul said, we must not walk like the Gentiles. And from that point onward in Ephesians, when Paul says, don't do something like, don't provoke your children to wrath, he's referring to something that is common in this world. So a father who follows Jesus Christ, what's that going to look like? Well, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. A father who follows Jesus is going to be avoiding anything that would provoke his children to anger unless he's doing what the Lord commands him to do. Now, if that ends up provoking the child to wrath, that's on the child and not on the father. But there are things that fathers in the world do that provoke children to anger. Now, you can look that up online. If you Google things fathers do that provoke their children to anger, you will find list upon list upon list. So we're not going to go through all the lists. I'll give you the three that I think are most common, but the key is to understand the phrase that follows. One thing that worldly fathers tend to do that provokes their children to anger is they neglect their children. They neglect them, or they allow them to be neglected. In other words, they just don't spend the time they should with their kids. They don't raise them in the training and admonition of the Lord. They let them to themselves. They let them do their own thing. They're too busy. As you probably know, the number one form of child abuse is neglect. Number one form of child abuse. Well, a father who follows Jesus Christ would certainly not do that and certainly would not let that be done with his own children. Another way worldly fathers provoke their children to anger is by being too harsh. Just too harsh. A harsh word stirs up what? Anger, Proverbs 15:1. I just witnessed this at Lowe's recently, and it was all I could do to not get involved. I was getting into my truck. I'd come out of the store. I was getting into my truck, and I saw and heard from across the parking lot a father berating his young son. The son was probably 6, 7, something like that. And the mother was right there, and he was, I mean, everybody heard him. Everybody that was in the parking lot heard it. He's just yelling at this child, and the child was, he had his head down, and he was angry. I mean, it broke your heart. But it also kind of made you angry. And I literally sat there in my truck reciting the proverb, he who meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who grabs a dog by the ears. I mean, that's a proverb I've memorized, and I was reciting it. Don't meddle in a quarrel not your own. And I didn't, because that's against God's wisdom. But worldly fathers tend to be just too harsh on the kids. I mean, the child was little, and I have no idea what happened, but I thought, well, there goes that Saturday. Lost, ruined. A father who follows Jesus Christ is not going to do that, right? There is a third way. I think it's very common in the world. A father who is hypocritical. You know, hey, kid, do as I say, not as I do. Some of us grew up with that. You do as I say and not as I do, which is the badge of the hypocrite. A father who follows Jesus Christ is going to avoid that like the plague, knowing that Christ hates hypocrisy. But on the positive side, a father who follows Jesus Christ is, by the Spirit of God, going to seek to understand and apply Ephesians 6:4. So what is he going to do? You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up, which is literally the word for feeding. It was used of feeding animals. Nourish them is probably the best English translation because it gives the idea that you are going to provide them spiritual nourishment constantly. It's an active present tense verb. Fathers, nourish. Keep on feeding your children, nourishing them in an environment defined by two things. The training of the Lord and the admonition of the Lord. The Lord is the source of both the training and the admonition. Now, the first word here, training, is an interesting word. How many of you have heard of pediatrics or pediatrician? You've heard that, right? It comes from this word here, paideia. Paideia. Whereas pediatrics is child medicine, paideia is child training. Child training. Can you think of any book in the Bible that has an emphasis for 31 chapters, hint, hint, on child training? Is there an entire book devoted to that? There is. What is it? Go ahead. Proverbs, an entire book devoted to teaching parents how to train their children. So a father who follows Jesus Christ, according to John 8:12, what's he going to be doing? Well, he's not going to be neglecting his child. He's not going to be being too harsh. He's not going to be berating or being a hypocrite around his child. He's going to be nourishing, raising up his child first within the child training given by the Lord. Fathers who have kids at home, I hope you're in Proverbs. I really do. I hope that you spend a lot of time in the book of the Bible given to fathers to tell you how to raise your children. You know, it was surely the sovereignty of God that very soon after Denise and I were saved, back in 1992, age of 27, and we had just had our second son, it was in the sovereign grace of God that the pastor said, "Do you know how to raise your children according to the Bible?" We had no idea. We had no idea what the Bible said. I don't remember what I said, but I hope it was something like, "Nope." He said, "Oh, good, because I'm going to be starting a class on raising your children according to the Bible, and we're going to go through the Proverbs." Yeah, fathers, you should. That is part of your life. Being in the book of Proverbs to understand what all it looks like to train your children, to raise them in the training of the Lord. Your resource for that is Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for, and then there's a list, and then it says, and training, same exact word. Child training in the realm of righteousness. There's a second part here. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That is the word nuthesia, and it's, if you've ever heard of nuthetic counseling, some of you would have heard of that. It's a biblical term for biblical counseling. This is kind of a, I would say, an advanced stage. I think the order here is that the training, the child training comes first. That's more primary and fundamental. But after a while, you get to where you're more giving counsel to your child and maybe correction that maybe isn't so much the rod of correction, but verbal correction. The two combined really refer to everything that the Scripture gives to fathers about how to raise their kids. But the second part is counsel. And so a father who follows Jesus Christ is not going to be doing those things that provoke his child to anger, but is going to be raising them, nourishing them within the training that God has given to that end and in the counsel that God has given to that end. Pretty basic, right? Very foundational. And I would encourage you fathers, all of you whose children are still at home, to examine yourself. Am I doing that? And I'll tell you what, if you're not sure how to, obviously there are bumps along the way, we run into challenges. You fathers in this church have been given a great gift that many fathers don't have. Look around. You are surrounded by a lot of gray-haired men who have been there. And all of us who have already raised our kids, we can tell you things that we did right and things that we did wrong. And we can give you the advice, the wisdom, the counsel that comes from our own personal experience. You should take advantage of that. If I was a young father in this church, and I can tell you this because I did it in a church like this one, I would be going to the gray-haired men around us. You know, start with Dan. He's always taking shots. You know, come on, start with Dan. He's got gray hair. Start with Pastor Dan, Pastor Rick, Pastor John. We all three have gray hair. You can see Pastor Drew, too, because he's doing a great job with his kids. You go to your elders. You could go to your deacons. You could line it up so that for the next 6 months, you've got a meeting a month where you're going to meet with a father and ask, "Hey, can you help me with this problem?" That's what a Christian father would do. A father who follows Christ would follow Ephesians 6:4. Now, the other three are pretty easy. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Colossians chapter 3, just a couple books back. And I think I probably could alliterate mine. Dan said mine might not be alliterated. A father who follows Christ would follow Ephesians 6:4. He would follow Colossians 3:21, and he would follow the other two verses we're going to hit. There you go. Now, this one looks familiar, but it's not exactly the same. Colossians 3:21. Take a look. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Sounds familiar, right? Only it's not the same word. We'll get to it in a second. It's not exactly the same word. It's not provoking to anger here. Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. This is really provoking them to discouragement, typically by means of orders and commands and instructions that they can't meet. Expositor's Greek Testament explains the word provoke here in Colossians 3:21 this way. To irritate by overly exacting commands and by perpetual fault finding. Yeah, that would provoke a kid, wouldn't it? You never do anything right. Another one says it is to discourage the child by continually setting unrealistic expectations and never being satisfied. Son, did I not tell you to take out the trash? But Dad, I did. Yes, you did, but look out at that trash can. Which way is the handle turned? Did I not tell you to turn the handle of the trash bin towards the street so that the trash man doesn't have to come around the trash bin and wheel it out that way? Oh, I forgot, Dad. Well, I'll tell you what, I know it's 9 o'clock and it's raining and storming and lightning outside and you're in your pajamas, but get out there right now and turn that trash bin around. There's no way I'm going to mistreat the trash man. Huh. And on the one hand, I'm making a caricature. But on the other hand, there are some fathers who aren't too far from that. Very exacting expectations that the child just cannot meet and doesn't measure up. And there have been far too many testimonies of children who have said, you know, I could never please my dad. Ugh. I never heard from my own dad, I love you, or well done. A father who follows Christ is going to be nothing like that. Right? A father who follows Christ is going to want to be like our Father in heaven, who according to Exodus 34:5 is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in truth, forgiving iniquity, forgiving transgression, forgiving sins, and yet is fair and just. A father who follows Jesus Christ is going to be very careful that his child does not lose heart. You ever see a child who's lost heart? Oh, that's hard to change if they've just lost heart. So, those two verses alone, they are the most direct verses about fathering in the New Testament, Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3:21, and they alone give sufficient instruction for fathers. But let's look at two more briefly, two more. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:11. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Now, this one is not direct concerning fathering, but a father who follows Christ is going to want to try to get everything the Bible says about fathering. And we're just looking at four New Testament verses. Now, here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is talking to the church in Thessalonica. They were called Thessalonian people. And he's reminding them of the ministry that he had when he was with them. And he says in verse 11, just as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you like a father does his own children. What is the implication here? The implication is that a good father will be concerned with and have care for each and every one of his own children, and he will be involved in doing three things: exhorting, comforting, and charging. Now, these are three key words again. The first word, exhorts, parakaleo. You've probably heard that one many times in this church. It really means to call alongside so as to give an exhortation in love. You know, it's not head-on, face-to-face. And I would just say, fathers, a great thing to do is to have your son come alongside when you exhort him. Hey, son, hey, come here a second. have them sit down beside you, put your arm around them, and say, hey, listen, you need to honor your mom. That was probably the most oft-repeated command I gave my sons. Son, listen, you need to honor your mom. You need to honor my wife. And what you just did, that was disrespectful, wasn't it? Yes, Dad. All right. Well, listen, you need to change this, okay? Do you understand? Word of the wise is sufficient, son. All right, go on. But if he keeps not getting it right, wait till we get to Hebrews, next verse, okay? But the first one here, a father will call his son alongside to exhort him in a manner that is loving. Notice the second one. We're here in 1 Thessalonians 2:11. It says, as you know, how we exhorted. And the second one is, and comforted. Well, a father who follows Christ will comfort his sons. Actually, this word is used twice of the comfort that Jesus was giving to Martha and Mary in John 11. It really is to comfort. And there are times when your child's going to spill milk, make a mistake, run into your pickup truck. Right as they age, they make new mistakes that are more costly. Your kids are going to make mistakes, right? And sometimes you don't need to punish them. They are beating themselves up for what they did. You don't need to beat them up more. You know, don't kick a man when he's down. Don't kick a boy when he's down. They need comfort. And so one of the great things about fathering is you learn the distinction between correcting when they've clearly violated an instruction and comforting when they've merely made a mistake or an error in judgment. My father who follows Christ will learn that distinction. And he'll exhort when the need is exhortation, but he'll comfort when the need is comfort. And what's the last one? 1 Thessalonians 2:11, you know how we exhorted and comforted, and the third word here really is marturamai, we witnessed. We testified. A father who follows Christ is going to be constantly testifying, witnessing to his own children. I think when Pastor Drew was talking about VBS, he said there are many scriptures that teach us that we need to bear witness to our children of the things that God has done. Right? Now, Psalm 78 is a great one to that end, and there are many others. But a father who follows Jesus Christ is going to be testifying to his children about the goodness of God, both from the scriptures and from his own life experience. Great to tell your kids stories in which God is the hero. So fathers, you who are raising your kids, you can do that on a weekly basis. God is a hero in our lives every single week. Be witnessing to them, be testifying to them of the great God that we serve. All right, that's three, one to go, but let me just tell you, from those three already, you learn that a father who follows Christ is going to have a very close, personal, working relationship with each one of his children, right? That is going to include what we find in Hebrews 12:7, final text. Hebrews 12, verse 7. Turn there if you would, please. You should know the context of this one if you've been coming to Sunday school. In the book of Hebrews, the author is warning those who are in danger of falling away from the faith. And some of them were suffering the chastening hand, the discipline hand of God. And in Hebrews 12, he encourages them to endure this divine chastening. And in verse 7, take a look at what he says. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. And then he says this. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? What do you think is his implied answer to that question? None. And I would say it is his hope that there is no son whose father would hate him so much that he never chastens him. You know what chastening is, right? Correction. Discipline. Worldly fathers might say things because they've been influenced by psychiatrists and psychology. Worldly fathers might say things like, oh, we would never spank our child. Why, that is against the law. And experts say, well, they're not Bible experts, that's for sure. No, a father who follows Jesus Christ is going to be faithful to discipline, to chasten his children according to God's wisdom and for their own good. You know, one of the favorite quotes I've heard in the past month, and sometimes, you know, you hear things that people say and you're like, oh, that is a great quote. Well, one of the favorite ones I heard was from Brother Jason Russell in a sermon he preached when actually several of us elders, we weren't here. Jason Russell filled the pulpit on Mother's Day. That's right, he filled the pulpit on Mother's Day. If you haven't listened to a sermon, I recommend it. It's online. It's called Redeemer and Servant out of Ruth 4. And if you remember, as part of that message, he talked a little bit about parenting, and he shared a couple of proverbs like 22:15, one of my favorites. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it, let's emphasize, far from him. That was Jerry Adams' favorite, wasn't it? He used to like that verse. And Jason quoted Proverbs 29:15, which says that the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And then here's what Jason said. I listened to it again just this morning to make sure I got it right. When a child has foolishness bound up in the heart, you want that gone. And if it's not gone, it's miserable. And if that foolishness in the heart of the child is not dealt with, and here's my favorite part, and there's only way I know of to deal with that from Scripture. Hear it again. If that foolishness bound up in the heart of a child isn't dealt with, and there's only one way I know of to deal with that from Scripture, then it's no good, and ultimately it'll be a shame to the mother, and to the grandmother, and to the father. When he said, there's only one way I know of from Scripture to deal with that, he identified Scripture as my authority, and if I want to deal with the problem of foolishness in the heart of my child, Scripture has only one way to deal with that. That's profound. It does not give two ways. It gives the rod of correction. Think about your Heavenly Father. Does he give an old-fashioned spanking sometimes? Yes, he does. And whom does he discipline? Those he loves. There are also proverbs that say that a father who hates his child does not discipline him. So what are we seeing? Start with John 8:12. Jesus says, I am the light for this dark world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness but have the light of life. Let's say you're a father and you say, amen, and I want to follow Jesus Christ. Four New Testament verses give you sufficient guidance for how to raise your children. Ephesians 6:4, Colossians 3:21, 1 Thess 2:11, and Hebrews 12:7. And they teach you that a father who follows Christ is going to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which sums it all up. So, fathers, overall, big picture, just follow Jesus Christ. That's the number one application point. Just follow Jesus Christ. Keep learning what that means and be faithful to do everything you just heard. But number two, second point of application, get counsel. Get counsel. There are so many good and godly people in this church around you. They are a gift of God to you. And if, for example, because I know that some fathers have this trouble, if, for example, I was in this church and I was having trouble with getting my children to sit still in church, or I was having trouble with my kids are always running to the bathroom 5, 6, 7 times during the sermon, or if I was having trouble that once service is over, my kids run amok and cause all kinds of trouble, I would go around to other people in this church and say, hey, help me with this. You know, I have this problem that my kids do this. Help me out. You know, I learned by evidence this morning that a child by the age of 3, if well-parented, thank you, Krista and John, if well-parented, that child can sit quietly throughout an entire church service. Now, it helps if grandma's there and she's got treats and cookies and snacks. It was kind of fun sitting here because I thought, man, I got animal cookies and a whole bag of tissues, just what I need. But, you know, Kaysen has been great, right? Did I say that right? Yeah, he's been great the whole church service. So, fathers, follow Christ. And third, listen, it could be that you're here this morning. I have two could-bes. It could be you're here this morning and you're a Christian now, but you look back on your parenting and you feel like you blew it. That can happen. You feel like you didn't do that. You feel like maybe you became a Christian after the kids were grown and gone. Or looking back, you know things now you didn't know back then. I would suggest something to you for today, Father's Day. Call or write your kids and say, you know, I just want to say, I don't think I did a great job. I don't think that I did all that Christ wanted me to do in raising you, and I want to ask for you to forgive me. But I want to tell you, my encouragement to you, grown kids, I really want you to follow Christ. And I want to be an example of that to you for the rest of my life. It's not too late. Ask for them to forgive you. Exhort them to follow Jesus Christ. Tell them you're going to give them that example for the rest of your life. And you've just made up for a lot of lost time. The other could be is it could be you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You're not saved. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says you're still in darkness. Don't remain there. Don't remain in darkness. Call upon the Lord today for salvation and you'll be saved. Say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And you'll go home justified. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fathers that are here today and the grandfathers and for all the moms who stand behind their husbands to father their children. Help us all, Heavenly Father, to be good fathers in every way we can be until we die. In Christ's name, amen.